Hey there. Thanks for tuning in today. This is just a note to let you know that there are a few technical difficulties throughout this episode. We hope that you're still able to listen, learn, and enjoy. This episode is hosted by Todd Smith, CEO of Symphony Workforce and New Pathways Fellow. Todd shares about a new initiative he's working on with the Omaha Task Force, engaging students and businesses in client-connected projects.
Welcome to the Getting Smart podcast. My name is Todd Smith. I'm the CEO of Symphony Workforce. I brought along two of my dynamic friends to have a conversation around, we need to do more than just graduate, right? Graduating kids just isn't enough in today's world. The promise of the 1970s, you go on from graduating high school on to 4 years and you are given the golden ticket. Those days are done. And so we have to do more as leaders, as educators. And I'm going to let my two friends introduce themselves and their organizations, and then we'll get back and kind of start diving into this conversation. Joe?
Thanks again, Todd, for the opportunity to come on here. My name is Joe Murray. I'm the principal at Jesuit Academy Omaha. We're a smaller, mission-based, hybrid fourth and fifth grade / middle school, serving underserved youth in the North Omaha, primarily the North Omaha community. This is my third year as principal. And again, just really excited to be here and really excited to talk with you more, Todd, about what we can do about righting the ship and figuring out how we can get kids doing more than just graduating.
So I've known you for quite some time. We've had these dynamic conversations around what is leadership doing at a state level? What's leadership doing at a local level? What are we doing as educators as we talk to our kids that have matriculated from elementary school? Joe, you're seeing elementary school, you're seeing them through their mentoring, through their high school. And then when they come back from this college experience and they're confused, right? The deal that they made with their younger selves that, hey, we're going to fight and get through high school and there's going to be this amazing epiphany when I get to college, that's not occurring. So what do we do differently? Right? How do we get the message out that 4 years not for everyone, 2 years may not be for everyone?
Perfect. So I guess the best way for me to answer that question is to provide a little context first. For me, this is not somebody who, obviously as an educator, I know content and curriculum is key and a big piece of why we do what we do. But for myself personally, what really I got out of school was a lot of, you know, what I got from adults in the building and the experiences that I was provided with. Sometimes we forget about the whole person and what their interests are, or what we can tap into make education valuable for them. For example, if you look at a reading textbook, you might have one student or not one story in that entire textbook resonates with the child at all, but they're supposed to learn how to read. And we know when we go out to read, we pick up things that are of interest. You know, most of the time, you know, sometimes we read for information. But I think because of how much pressure, and again, I understand quality assurance is one thing and we can't just go in schools and do whatever we want. So I understand the necessity for it. But because of the pressure and all the boxes that need to be checked from a curriculum and, you know, from a state mandate perspective, sometimes it just makes school flat out not appealing to most kids. And I think the secret sauce is, how do we find a way to keep the quality assurance high, but also to make sure that we're making school more appealing for our young people?
No, that does. That starts that conversation. I want to welcome O to our call. O runs the Simba Foundation. O, take a second. Give us 30 seconds on your institution, your foundation, and then what your focus is, and knowing that it's in the lens of our broader conversation of that we have to do more than just graduate kids.
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. My name is Osmanu Isaka. I run a youth development organization that focus on the RIM population. RIM population is refugee, immigrant, and migrants, but not limited to. So we have over about 1,200 youth throughout the East Corridor of Omaha, Nebraska. As far north as Sherman Elementary and as far south as Highland Elementary, and even as far west as Bennington. So we have kids in Bennington that we pick up because, again, due to housing the refugees that are getting more housed further west. But our organization really focuses on integration versus assimilation. We focus first for the resettlement. We do a handoff from RECA, Lutheran Family Services, and then we help the youth go through from academic excellence all the way through through this output of career pathing, whatever that looks like. And we assist through that way. So we have family resource engagement. We have a store. We have a youth academy and various other things that we support. We also have a teen tech center, which would be the first teen tech center supported by Best Buy and the Clubhouse Network from MIT in the East Coast. And be the first in state of Nebraska. That really pretty much encompass the beginning and the end and everything in between that we have to be able to provide some resources and assistance for that.
So, you and I have had a lot of conversations around what's next for kids, right? The last time we sat down, we talked about, hey, there's this group of alumni that you're supporting in their college journeys. But as they come back to Omaha, it's how do they experience Omaha enough from a H3 career perspective that says Omaha is a good place for them. It's a good deal for them, but to do it in an authentic way, right? Not in a job shadow way, not in this way that it doesn't make the rest of their 18 years, previous 18 years doesn't make sense, that it makes sense of their 18 years and then the journey they still have to go. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we implemented is for our college students, when they come back to Nebraska, back to Omaha, we're partnering with universities to be able to provide student housing, right? That's for one. And that's just based on some of the things that we've learned in the past in terms of coming back home changes the whole mindset of you in school, and now you're in the summer for relaxation. I think one of the conversations Todd and I had is how can we continue to extend that process of learning and streamline that the student to career pathing and continue to engage them on a year-long process, right? And I think one of the things that we were trying to partner or trying to identify various different things that they can do throughout. So if you're here for the summer, you can engage in an internship. You can engage in find your why and also continue that continuous learning as you go through.
So I think about, Joe, what you're doing at Jesuit Academy is, by any metric, right, young Black men have the steepest road to climb through that pre-K through ninth grade. Kid, people tend to stay in their own, call it 10-minute circle of space. But in terms of North Omaha, Cummings could be a moat that's on fire in terms of dividing North Omaha from the amazing downtown and educational opportunities that reside there. So how do you go about attacking this every day with young Black men? I've seen it with my own eyes, and I think it's amazing, but talk a little about how you do this.
First of all, in reference to, sticking to your tribe or your area, I mean, I live in Northwest Omaha. I have a 4th Street Hy-Vee 3 minutes from my house. I still go to the Baker's on North 30th Street just because I know where everything's out. you just kind of stick to where you're at. You stick to what you know, right? So that's very much true. But for us, as far as tackling that, I feel like back to kind of what I talked about earlier, we do such a good job at teaching kids how to do school well and so much emphasis on how to do school well. And so many of them find out early on they just don't do school well. And we pour a lot into just trying to get them to be able to do school better. And we miss a lot of opportunity, trying to beat that into them rather than focusing on what they're really good at. So I feel like what we do is try to, as early as possible, find what they're good at through interest inventories. Our upper middle schoolers, take strengths finders, and we try to hook them up with things that they already feel like they're good at, or we notice things that they're already good at, or we connect them with people in order to find out what they want to do or what they feel like they already have a skill set for. Because again, what'll happen is you'll find pretty typically the kids who do skill well are always school well are always going to do school well. They continue to do school well. Not too many kids come in and don't do school well and finish, you know, not or vice versa. So we take those guys and, you know, they have the opportunity to get job experiences or, you know, have mentorship opportunities within the school. We empower them to do other things. And then the ones who don't do school well, we still spend equal amount of time pouring into their strengths. Okay. You know what? What do you do well? What can you help with? We have one kid who is really good at fixing things. So when he's having a rough day, me and our counselor will go unscrew some screws on the table. We'll say, hey, go put it back together. Cause it just gets him an opportunity to do what he needs well. And that makes his day go smoother.
It does. It does. I'm going to pivot our conversation a little forward and have you guys look at it a little differently. So one of the things that we're in the middle of doing is finalizing a partnership with the Omaha Chamber to become their workforce platform of choice for their members. And so that's good on the member side, the business side. On the student side, we designed a hybrid internship model where students now will have 6 hours a week that they will be on site at a given company. So that could be, they could split up into 3 days, 3 hours in 2 days, or all six on one day. They'll have 6 hours a week that they have to be on platform solving a challenge from said business. And then they have 3 hours a week left to do industry recognized certification modules that connect back to the challenges that they've taken. So now they get on-site time that's all focused. They get problem resolution time, and then they get industry badging. That's important to said industry. And they make $3,000 over 10 weeks. That gives them the ability to still be kids, to take care of siblings, to if they're kids that are on a farm, to go combine, to do all those different things, and they can take multiple of these hybrid internships. The group on this phone has an amazing group of alumni that come back each summer that we want to make sure have high access to these opportunities. And I'm really interested, Joe, in this group of 20 that you recognized for the reason because of their friendship with each other. Right, the ability for them to cohort and go places together, right, so that no one feels alone. Hey, we can all go to different parts of this business on the 2 days we're here, but we all get to come back together for lunch, or we all get to walk in together, we all get to walk out together, right? And so, give me thoughts around whether you can speak to that for your alumni, or just the process of getting your alumni experiences. So that Omaha is an option for them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't allude to that earlier, but part of our mission is that we stick with our students when they finish in eighth grade, track them through high school, provide opportunities, tutoring, mentorship, whatever, get them prepared for what their next step is. And what we're seeing with a lot of our alumni is they're equipped to graduate high school. And there wasn't a lot going on during that time where they figured out what they really want to do. So they get to college. And either it wouldn't pan out because they weren't sure what they wanted to do, or they would say, hey, college is not for me because, you know, I need to make money. So part of our mission is, you know, the core of our mission is to break the cycle of poverty. And a lot of times the leap to college just includes more debt, just to be 100% honest with you. And what was really appealing about the opportunity for this alumni is not only are they a close-knit group just because by nature we get a couple runs of groups that are just tighter than others. They're all pretty tight, but this group is, you know, I mean, they're like brothers. They came in as brothers. Most of them went to the Boys and Girls Club together. So they're real tight. But also, they want to make money. They don't want to wait around to be in a space where they can afford to go out on the evenings, or, you know, they don't want to eat Burger King every day. They want to be able to have money. And in Omaha is, you know, a pretty cheap place to live. So a lot of them are just going to lower hanging fruit, quick job opportunities to make enough money to kind of get by. And some of them kind of just work their way up. But why not pour into opportunities that they can invest at an early age? And then you're talking about them getting into the workforce and doing things well and making good money when they're still in their 20s, rather than you get out 22, you kind of get your feet wet, work your way up, and then the next thing you know, by the time you're 30, you're paying off a little debt, and then you enjoy yourself in your 40s. So I mean, just for these guys, that's a big appeal. Is, hey, not only can we do it together, but we need to make money now to help out mom, or we need to make money now because I got a lot of things that I want to do, and I want to see the world because I spent so much time in this small box of Omaha, and this could provide me a way to take vacations and experience other things. So I think that was the big appeal, is not only them being a close-knit group, but money talks. And I think they're saying, hey, you know, if this is an opportunity and I can find something I like to do, make money quicker, I think it's a pretty easy sell for them.
Yeah, it's a $6,000 sell to be able to get recruited like you're an athlete, but into corporate America, right? Talk a little about the people that you have in college right now and the experiences that they should be coming back to.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have over 260 college students all throughout, from Colorado State all the way to Northwestern, Loyola, Chicago, Oral Roberts. So vast amount of students and universities throughout. And they range from engineer majors all the way to teachers, social work, and things of that nature. So I think providing that opportunity and allowing him, because we talk about two things, right? We call it the IV model. Providing life within everything, and life within your career, life and within your purpose, which would be impact and value. How are you able to be able to capture this impact and value throughout your life journey? And I think exposing or providing that those opportunities for HDR or Turner or all these Hawkins, for him to be able to touch and feel, do all these research and say, yeah, potentially, this is a larger shop. This is a global shop. And I think I want to do global. I think I want to travel. You know what I mean? So now he's thinking about all these various different factors based on your conversation, because we had a follow-up conversation after that, too, as well as, do you want to do something that's local? Do you want to do something that's regional? And what do you see yourself, 5, 10 years, the typical long-range, long-range goals, and he started to put and begin to process those things. So providing these opportunities for them to come back, I think, is huge. And also, they get to come back and see the family, too, as well. So, I mean, that's a combination. And also come back to give back to the community that, you know, that helped uplift them to get to college and uplift them to get to be able to select the career path. And so I believe really live up to this whole life cycle model, right? You were at the beginning. We helped you get there. Now you're coming around to push somebody else. So to be able to keep the wheel rolling. So I think, that's been huge for us. We're learning it as we're learning every day. I mean, we have our lessons learned. I know, Todd, to tell you, I'm an engineer by trade in the past, so I'm always having root cause analysis, lessons learned, and trying to figure out how we could do things better all the time. But it's really not led by me. I'm a facilitator. It's led by the youth, and the youth are really putting together these sessions and providing this feedback so we can continue to, sharpen that iron and also tighten up those screws.
How do you talk to your young people about the post-secondary pathway? Right to work, 2 year with a job, or 4 year? How do you explain to them that each path has a win depending on the kid? There's no right path. How do you talk through that with the risk reward of each?
Yeah, I think traditionally we say four year school, that's how you become successful, right? And we know that that's not true. We know data shows, maybe a portion of the 2% of millionaires are not college students, right? Didn't go to 4 year schools, right? So really, I think it's more really about the education piece or research or providing that data. One thing right now is we're data driven. You can tell them all day. If you can't show them, you lost. I mean, If you can't show them proof in the pudding, they don't get it. Like, you know, anything that I tell them, I say, look, you guys are in the age that data is at your fingertips. All you got, everybody's walking around here with iPhone, Android, iPads, and things of that nature. So begin to validate, begin to verify what I tell you, or find out that something is inconsistent with what I tell you. So you put that power in their hands too as well. So showing them a successful pathway. I mean, we've had electricians come here, showing them, having them have a conversation with them. We've had four year post grads and gotten into the financial career. So we have, you know, we have our investment group, right? There's three pathways. You can go to 4 year and get your BI at Creighton and be able to come in and be an investment financial investor. Or you can really do like some of these folks are doing. They're learning as they go, using YouTube, researching, and they're becoming their own financial investors. So I mean, so many different pathways. Like MCC has something that you can go in, do 2 years and get. So really exposing them to those career pathways, but then finding those individuals of success where they can feel in touch, have that conversation. What did you think about this? What were you thinking at the age of 15, like me right now? What were you thinking? Well, I was thinking like, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to be a lawyer. Why did you shift?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the graduate support team could echo a little bit more because they're more hands-on with the alumni as far as, you know, what particular paths or choices they're providing. But I would say from the school standpoint, even within our alumni, we're mostly focused on building the relationship with them as strong as possible, getting them in and connected as much as possible. Because what we'll find is, you know, and this is not a shocker, most teenagers don't want another adult telling them what they should do with their life, asking questions, checking their grades. So a lot of it's just trying to build an authentic and real relationship so that by the time they get to making these choices, they know they can lean on us. They'll contact us before they make them, just say, hey, what do you think? Keeping an open ear, taking care of their basic needs sometimes, helping them with, you know, summer jobs or doing whatever we can so when those times come, they lean on us rather than just keeping us as another adult who's just harping on them. And as we know, for most kids, especially, you know, the kids we work with, most of them are going to stub their toe at some point. They're going to make a poor decision. They might get caught up hanging around the wrong person who's leading them in the wrong direction. So that relationship is key, and being authentic is key because our voices need to be as powerful as possible.
I think one of the impressive things, Joe, that you and I have discussed is, especially around this 20, is that you have these amazing young men who come through your program, come through prep or through OPS high school, get into college, and then they come back and they go, what am I doing here? Right? I'm getting good grades. I'm doing the school thing, but I don't know why I'm here. Right? And having that relationship, as you mentioned, is critical in being able to advise them of how to move forward smartly. Right?
Yeah, 100%. And that's exactly right. And the ones we've built the stronger relationships with ultimately have the best outcome. But also that doesn't come without a shift in path. It doesn't come without a time of reflection. And I think that's one of the key things is we want to do as much work on the front end to make sure that they choose a path and they know what path they're walking on. Hence, you know, finding their why or finding their purpose or what they really want to do. Because oftentimes when they have to rechart, it's difficult and it slows them up and gets back to that one point. We say, hey, they don't want to wait around. They want to get into the workforce right away. So, hey, let's make it. We don't want to rush it. We just want it to be purposeful. We don't want to waste time and years because it's very precious to everybody and especially our kids. So yeah, they come back to us oftentimes with, hey, you know what? Classes aren't going well. Okay, let's talk about what the next step is.
Well, listen, I could do this for hours with you all. I think we have each done it for hours together. So I want to continue to keep this conversation moving as we move through this dynamic relationship with Getting Smart. They're a brilliant organization that cares about moving kids in a dynamic fashion, but they really thrive on the new way of doing things, right? A collective impact. And I know with each of you, you're doing dynamic things. And I think collectively, we can do things together that reveal data and outputs that are important to communities, but they're important to the economic wheel. They're important to communities thriving in a way that is driven by student success, individual student success. And so I thank you each for taking time today and coming on board. And then I will reach out to you again when we have a new topic and when we collectively have some new data to share with people. So I appreciate you all. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to the Getting Smart podcast today. We want this podcast to be actionable, insightful, and a great way to learn about what's next in learning. In order to stay on the cutting edge, we need people in the field to tell us what they're hearing, what they're wanting, and what they're needing to learn more about. Got a topic or a guest in mind? Send your recommendations to me, Mason@gettingsmart.com. And if you like what you're hearing, don't forget to leave a review in Apple Podcasts or subscribe wherever you listen. Feel free to share the podcast on social media using the hashtag GSPodcasts. Thanks so much.